have. And I remember the time, you're not that much older than me, and I was pretty much up on this stuff. There were tales that several games in high school you had struck out every batter you faced. Is that true?
I struck out, I think, 21 in 7 innings and 24 in 8 innings and extra inning games, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was from my freshman year on, I averaged two and a third strikeouts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic at any level. You were offered, or you were pursued by 14 of the 16 teams, is that right?
I really don't know that for a fact. You know, I think I talked to just about everybody, but some of them knew they weren't financially in a running, you know, and some of them dropped out. And who knows at what point that happens. I really can't say.
Well, you with the Phillies, I guess the Phillies and the A's were the hometown teams?
No. The Phillies pursued me probably harder than anyone, and there was a local scout, or more like a bird dog. He wasn't, I don't think he was a, he probably got paid for, you know, how far a guy advances. I don't think he was on the payroll. I wish I could remember his name. Lefty, that's a shame. He's just a wonderful person.
He'll probably come to you after we finish talking.
Anyhow, he was up in the years in those days, and he was just a fine gentleman. And the thing probably was really weird in those days. You know, of course, you don't know this until after you sign. But I come to find out that a lot of these clubs. And here, you know, we had no, in those days, you don't have agents, you don't have anything. And you walk in and you're talking to some pretty high-powered folks. And all they wanted to do was play ball. And your mother and dad's there. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out that I was evidently, from what I heard later on, that I was the number one guy in the country.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
And whether that's bullshit or not, I don't know, but that's what the word was. Of course, I didn't know that. I could care less. But when it seems like toward the end, everybody started bailing out. So there must have been some word got out from somebody, and it certainly wasn't me or my family, because we never even discussed numbers. But there was a bunch of folks that bailed out. And finally, we went to the airport. We took my oldest brother, who was 3 years older than I, to the airport. Dropped him off, sent him off to Korea, and went to a hotel in Pittsburgh and sat down with the Philly organization. We signed a contract, and when I got home, we had two or three phone calls, and teams that I thought had given up on me said, whatever you do, don't sign, you know, and all this kind of stuff. From what I understand, there was a guy by the name of Bob Miller, a left-handed pitcher, lived up around the Detroit area.
Signed with the Tigers for big moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a scout from Detroit came to me during one of my games. Italian fellow, can't think of his name. He was a scout. He came to me, and when toward the end of my senior year, and he said, he said, I guess we can't sign you. Now, again, there was never ever a dollar ever mentioned, you know,
mm-hmm.
on anything. And he gave me a St. Sebastian medal. I'm Catholic, and he was Catholic. And, you know, the patron saint of athletes and warriors and all that good stuff. And he said, I guess we can't sign you. We're no longer in the running. And I heard later, and who knows who's telling the truth or not, but that there was a deal made that the Phillies were going to go big bucks for one of us.
Mm-hmm. You were Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Detroit was going to go big bucks for one of us. And so they, supposedly they kind of made a deal.
Okay. Well, that,
in fact, Bob Miller told me that.
Well, that, it makes sense the way they did it. You guys were in the right areas.
Right.
But it also cuts down, that's, I guess today that would be collusion and there'd be a big fuss over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Were the Phillies your choice?
I tell you what, if it came down, I really had no choice, but I did like the Phillies, you know, and which was really stupid on my part because the Phillies had one of the, you know, had a really great pitching staff. They had great pitchers.
No.
But in my way of thinking at that point was they have some of the best pitchers, you know, Robin Roberts, Kurt Simmons, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there was a whole list of people in the major leagues and the minor leagues. And in my mind was that's the team I wanted to go to because I wanted to compete against those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking about competing against the opposition. I had in my mind that I wanted to compete against those guys because they supposedly were probably one of the best pitching staffs anywhere that I was aware of.
Sure.
Okay, so in my mind that I wanted to go there and actually compete with those guys.
That's a tough competition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what the hell.
Well, you went there in 53.
Right.
Steve O'Neill was your manager.
Right.
A lot of players didn't care for him as a manager.
Right.
He gave you one third of an inning.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yep. Well, you have to refresh my memory. Steve O'Neill, here's what you have to understand. And I don't blame Steve O'Neill. I really don't blame him. Although I thought he was a horse's ass.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame him. I come into a ball club. I had no business being in the major leagues.
Right.
Okay? They had to take somebody off the roster and put them in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Room for me. So there was an immediate dislike for me by Steve O'Neill, the coaching staff, and every player on the team.
You did feel there was resentment from the players, too.
Oh, there was no... Oh, Jesus.
Well, you're making four times what they were and watching them, yeah.
Oh, any resentment? Let me give you a good example. I joined a club in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 6 foot tall, probably weighed 200 pounds or 2'5", 2'7".
Big kid.
Which I usually weighed. Although my baseball cards say I weighed 190, but shit, I was a sophomore in high school, I weighed 217. I don't even remember weighing 190. But, you know, anyhow, I joined a ball club, and I show up, you know, nobody, you know, pretty damn cold reception. I go to the ballpark. I go in there and introduce myself to the clubhouse guy. You know, nobody, you know, everybody's looking at me, but nobody's talking to me.
Must have been pretty awkward.
Yep. So, first thing they do is the clubhouse guy says, guy, to this day I don't know his name. They called him Unk. U-N-K, Unk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there 100 years, I guess. And I need a uniform. So he gives me a uniform, and the uniform fitted me absolutely skin tight, but this came right down to the bottom of my knees. Okay? In those days, you know, everything was bloused out.
Yeah.
I said, hey, this uniform doesn't fit. He said, that's the only goddamn uniform we got. If you don't want to wear the goddamn thing, he said, you can leave.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I figured, I'm in big shit now. So I figured, well, if they're going to embarrass me, I'll embarrass them, because I'll wear the son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in Cincinnati, we had to go down through their dugout. And, out onto the field, here comes this great bonus baby. And, of course, all Major League ball players, they look for these guys. I just walked out on the field just as proud as I could be. I figured, screw y'all. Everybody's, it's hilarious. I mean, it's downright hilarious. And I figured, what the fuck, that's the way they play the game, that's the way we play the game. And that was my first day in the Major Leagues.
Well, pretty uncomfortable welcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did it get better?
It really never got any better.
That's a shame.
I can remember I was there for that whole year, and was never allowed to even get in to take batting practice with the pitchers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I was an outcast.
Yeah, they're blaming you for it, and it's not your doing.
No, I don't do it, And but Steve, I mean, this is the old school. This is later on in my life, I understood what was going on. It was when you're 18 years old, it's pretty odd. I turned 18 in April, and here I am in June.
Mm-hmm.
And never been away from home in my life. That's pretty ugly.
Jim Small told me, he said that he wasn't allowed to stay out after 9 o'clock, and then he signed the contract, and then 2 days later he was tipping porters to carry his bags in New York, and the adjustment was one that he didn't think he ever made.
That's basically it. I walked into the hotel in Cincinnati. I never been in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never been on a train.
Wow.
I'd never been on anything. The longest trip I ever made was went down to Deep Creek, Maryland, which was about an hour and a half from home, to go fishing.
Not exactly a man of the world at that point.
I don't think in those days, I don't think I ever had a suit. And we come to find out that everybody has to wear a coat and tie.
That's pretty bad. Did any of the players try to help you out?
Yes. The very first day, and this is a very unlikely combination. The very first day, when I showed up, and they put me in this tight uniform and all that, they had me work out, they had me throw on the sidelines, and, a lot of guys gathered around, In fact, Robin Roberts stood up there with a bat in his hand, and, like he was a hitter. mm-hmm. see what I had. You know, and then we ran and ran, and we did all this kind of stuff. I come back in. Now, you have to understand, I don't have any kind of equipment at all as far as, you know, the red sweatshirt, you know, red sleeve shirt, the sweatshirt, mm-hmm. the Phillies and all that. I don't have anything. And except what the clubhouse guy gave me, that one uniform. And so I go in, and I'm here. My locker is right next to Earl Torgerson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever researched Earl Torgerson, but that's a complete story in itself. Outside of baseball.
Yes. Yeah. I know the story.
Okay.
A little loose horse at times.
No, his life is the in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I'm sitting there, and he's kind of breathing heavy, and I'm not about to look at him, and he's not looking at me, and we're getting ready for the game to start. And he finally looks over at me. He said, "Aren't you going to change your shirt?" I said, "I don't have a shirt." He said, "What do you mean, don't?" He said, "What do you mean?" Because I had asked, you know, the guy. He said, "No, we don't have any." I asked, "Don't?" He said, "No, we don't have any." So this soaking wet wool shirt, you know, you wear under your uniform.
Mm-hmm.
That was all I had. I was soaking wet, and he said he didn't have any. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "No." I said, "He told me he didn't have any." And he yells, "Hey, Unc." He said, "Shirt." Suddenly there was a sweatshirt. Unc brought it over, gave it to Earl, and while Unc was there, Earl handed it to me.
Good for him.
Yep. I thought that took a lot of courage.
Yep.
And you know, that didn't mean we were friends. Okay. but Earl was one of those guys, he knew what was right and he knew what was wrong.
Oh, just a decent fellow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We come back to Philadelphia, and they decide that, they're going to have this game between the Athletics and the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pitch it. And I, here we come in, chugging in on a train into Philadelphia. Jim Constanti says to me, "Where are you staying?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just going to, you know, get a cab and tell them to take me to a hotel." You know, I had no idea where I was at. Never been there. He said, "No." He said, "You come with me." And he took me to his home.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And on the way to the ballpark that night, I was gonna pitch against the Athletics, 4 or 5 innings or whatever, you know, or as long as, you know, I could go, 3 innings or something. We stopped, got something to eat. I ordered hamburger and French fries and all this, you know, what your kid would do.
Sure.
And after I sat there and ate it, he said to me, "Why would you order something like that before a ball game?" You know, and I had no idea. I said, "I don't know. What are you supposed to eat?" Robin Roberts, Kurt Simmons were really good to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are top guys. They were very, very good to me.
Well, they had been through it, not quite to the extreme as you. They had the buffer of a part of the season in the minors, but still, they received a lot of money to sign.
But there was Granny Hamner.
Mm-hmm.
Granny Hamner, second baseman, was very, very good to me. It turned out, you know, and Johnny Wyrostek, who didn't play every day, you know, he was over the hill when I got there.
Yeah.
But he was kind to me.
Yeah, he passed away here just a little while ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I think about a year back.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But But for the most part, guys like Connie Ryan, you know, who was on his way out.
Yeah, he was about through then.
He couldn't. His whole day revolved around giving me shit.
Oh boy.
And there was a bunch of other guys that, you know, didn't. They weren't like Connie, but they joined in.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, it takes one to start it.
Sure.
And then, the hyenas will follow.
But the thing that really hurt me so bad was we would be in a game getting beat 12-2.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even let me. They won't. You know, they're always talking about, you know, somebody, you know, being demoralized. You know, how the fuck could you be more demoralized than I was at that point?
No reason not to let you mop up.
Let me go in and get my head knocked off. I don't went out there, you know, let them take shots at me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody.
Yeah, it's...
But from the old, you know, these guys from the old school, you know, he didn't come up through the ranks, so he don't play. So here I am in this whole, for 2 years, well, it's like, you know, half a year in 53, the whole year in 54, and then in half a year in 55, that I absolutely was, all I did was I threw batting practice every day. And I throw 45 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the only fun I had in life was every once in a while I'd have a guy like Willie Jones who really didn't like me. Willie Puttinhead Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd saw the bat off in his hand. and just, you know, and it got to the point it was a big game because the guys would sit behind the dugout, you know, or behind the screen, you know, because they knew I was going to do it, but they weren't sure when. And I remember one day in spring training, early in spring training, I got him up there, and the guys were all standing behind the backstop, you know, and I unloaded one on him, and he swung, and the bat and the ball hit the back of the barrel of the bat, and the ball hit screen at the same time. You know, and these guys just fell on the ground laughing. You know, it was hilarious.
Did Jones' attitude change at all?
Well, no. He didn't like me. I didn't like him. Connie Ryan. Finally, in I guess it was my second year. I think it was. I finally had enough of this shit. I went over to him one day and I said, right in the clubhouse in front of everybody, I said, the next goddamn time you open your mouth and say something about me, I'm going to knock you flat on your ass. And I told it to him in front of everybody.
Good. Did it shut him up?
Yeah.
Good.
He never said nothing. And a couple of years, you know, and he got released and he ended up with Cincinnati or using spring training one year. He come to the plate, and I threw at him four times.
Did you hit him?
No.
Did when O'Neill left, Terry Moore came in. Did you feel, was there any difference then?
Oh, a great difference. A tremendous difference.
Moore was supposed to be a super nice fellow.
Right. I was throwing batting practice. I was throwing batting practice with Terry. And I didn't even know, you know, nobody ever told me anything, you know, I was too dumb to know. But when I threw the ball in a very relaxed motion, the ball just moved all over the place. And I'm throwing batting practice, and the guys are having trouble getting the ball, you know, having trouble hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Moore says to somebody, "Who the hell is this guy?" And of course, we get into a. There was a shortly there. That was in, this was in St. Louis. He and had some few roles, and somehow some of these roles leaked to the news medium, and the first thing you know, Terry Ryan was gone. And Terry Ryan was probably one of two good managers I ever played for.
Who was the other one?
Al Lopez.
Yep, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. This resentment, when Johnny Antonelli took the big bonus with the Braves in 48, he was with the team all season, and they voted not to give him a World Series share. I think the commissioner overruled it, and he finally did get a full share. But you guys were fourth place one year you were there, weren't you?
Yeah, I think we were third and fourth.
Yeah, did you get your share?
Yeah, I believe I did.
Okay, that's good. I'd ask you, well, real quick before we go on to some other things, is it possible, is your high school record recorded anywhere?
Yeah, I think, there was an article my mother saved. I never saved a damn clipping. Thank God for my mother. There's one. It was in the McKee Sport, the Daily News. That's what it's called.
McKee Sport Daily News.
McKee Sport Daily News.
Did you know roughly when?
Well, it would have been probably early spring 53 or 52.
Okay. I will write them. They'll have something.
I know that clipping was somewhere, but I don't know where they go.
Okay. Well, if it's available, I'll find it. It's McKee Sport Daily News.
There. It's there. I guarantee it's there.
And the paper's still in business?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, you finally lived out your bonus, and they sent you down, made a relief pitcher out of you.
Well, no, I went to Class B ball,
mm-hmm.
Reedsville, North Carolina. And I played a half year there. And I was pretty much a starter. And one other thing. There's one guy I have to comment on. A pitcher by the name of Carl Drews.
Sure, I remember him.
Carl Drews probably disliked me as much as anybody that was ever there.
No kidding.
Yeah. But let me tell you about Carl Drews. I had a problem with control. You know, I had great stuff and all that, like all kids do. Catcher by the name of Benny Bengal.
Yeah.
Bengal. Greatest guy to ever live. Super guy. And I would throw to him every day. And he'd give me the sign on the target out here, and I'd throw and I'd miss it. He'd give me the target. You know, he's always... And I can remember walking, sitting down in the bullpen, sweating like hell, flop down. I'm just totally disgusted with myself. And finally, Carl Drews, I think it's probably the first time he ever spoke to me. I was probably there, you know, it's my like, second year probably.
Oh, boy.
He spoke to me. He said, "Hey, where's the ball go when you just naturally draw it?" He said, without thinking, "Where's it go?" I said, "Well, it goes kind of blown inside a right-hand hitter." He said, "Then don't ever try to hit any other spot than that. Once you can hit that spot with your eyes closed, then you try to hit some other spot."
Hmm.
that was probably the best advice I'd ever had in my life.
That is good advice.
But, you know, nobody helped you.
Yeah. Did you have a pitching coach?
We did, I don't know who it was.
Now, some teams, a lot of teams have an old infielder or something that they owed a favor to that hires the pitching coach, and he'd sit in the bullpen and watch them all day, and that was the extent of it.
No.
That's changed a lot.
I don't know who would have been that, but no one ever told me anything about pitching.
Well, it's a crying shame.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, when your inactivity, I know inactivity certainly does not help you. How much did it hurt you not being able to have any game competition for 2 years?
Well, I'm not sure. I can't, you know, I'm not about to blame that. You know, it's like, brain surgeon or an astronaut or anybody that, you know,